don't know if you ever took a music class in school, in grade school, or joined a school band. You first join up and they give you an instrument and you take it home and you try to play it. And after a while you learn to turn squeaks into notes. And the time comes when you come together for the first time as a band to play, and the conductor, the teacher, lifts the baton and gives you the motion to start, and it sounds like a train wreck. And, you know, everybody's playing at their own speed and their own volume, and nobody's following, and everybody's trying to hear themselves. And, the result is terrible. Because the room's filled with soloists. Everybody wants to play their own thing. But over time, you learn and you grow in experience. And eventually, as you get closer to the end of the year, it all starts to come together. And people begin working together. The instruments work together and they're building on one another. And the result is beautiful music for everyone to enjoy. You know, that's kind of the way God intends it to be with the church. God has given us, if we can use that analogy, God has given each one of us an instrument to play. And as the church, He's given us a song to play. Maybe you're still trying to figure out what your instrument is. But we're learning. And His intent is that we would become an orchestra that makes beautiful music to be enjoyed by the community that God has placed us in. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is dealing with the issue of spiritual gifts and working together with those gifts. A few weeks ago, we looked at the first 11 verses of this chapter. It's been a while because of Christmas, and you know, we get interrupted by these the seasonal things. But we looked at those verses and considered the nature and the purpose of spiritual gifts. And if I can just review very briefly the nature of gifts in chapter 12, verses 4 to 6. He talked about varieties of gifts. Everyone is gifted differently. There are varieties of service. That is, different areas of ministry in which these gifts are used. And he says there are varieties of activities. There are different ways in which our gifts manifest themselves within those ministries, depending on personality and temperament. But behind it all is one God, one Spirit, one Savior, one Lord. And then the purpose of gifts, verses 7 to 11, we looked at. And I think the key thought is in verse 7. Where it says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Spiritual gifts are given for the benefit of the church. I'm not given a spiritual gift for my benefit. It's for the common good. To build up the local church, the body of believers. The real purpose of spiritual gifts is for the local church, that body of believers, to have every gift that is necessary for it to flourish and grow and bring glory to Jesus Christ. So having introduced the subject of spiritual gifts and their role in the body of Christ, Paul then devotes the next section to expanding on this whole idea of the church as a body. Understanding the relationship between the various members of the church is critical to understanding the importance of the gift that Christ has given to His church by the Spirit. Now, we're covering a fairly large text in our short time this morning. We're actually going to look at the rest of this chapter, right down to verse 31. And so we're not going to be exhaustive by any means in our treatment of the passage, but there are a few points that come out of this text that might seem fairly basic. We're not talking about anything profound here, and yet it is, in a way. It's not, but it's not deep. There are very significant points, though. First of all, we are all one body, verses 12 and 13. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. We are all one body. Many members, but one body. Just as our physical body, he uses that analogy here, just as our physical body is made up of different parts, different limbs, organs, various systems, cells of all kinds. And every part serves a different function, yet it's all one body. And so it is with the church, the body of Christ. Though there are many members, yet it is one body. Look at verse 13. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. At the moment of conversion, the moment of salvation, we were baptized, immersed, placed into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. No matter who we are, no matter what our status is or was in life at the time we came to Christ, we are brought together into one body, Christ's body, the church. There are a couple of aspects to this that are important to recognize. When we are baptized into the body of Christ, we become part of the church worldwide, the universal church, the body that is made up of believers everywhere. But there is also the expectation and understanding that we are brought into fellowship and joined to a local body of believers. We become, or intended to become, a member of a local church. We are baptized into that body, the body of Christ. So even though church is made up of many members, we're many, we're all different, we're all part of that one body that is designed and intended to work together as a body. But as you go on in verses 14 to 20, we see that there are many different members. I mean, we've hinted at that already, but there are many different members in that body. Paul says, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body." The body is composed of many different members. And here he's speaking about our physical body. You have hands, you have eyes, you have ears, you have feet, toes, all of the different parts of the body. And just because a hand is different from the toes, that doesn't mean it's not a part of the body. It all comes together. Hands, feet, every part together makes up the body. And look at verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? See, if every part was the same, it wouldn't be a body. We can't all be, it's not all the same, but God in His wisdom has brought together many different parts and placed them all exactly where they should be so that they can work together and the body can function as it should. As he goes on to say, as it is, God has arranged the members in the body, each one of them as He chose. He's put them together in the way that He wanted it to be. Your body, you know that. Your body works perfectly together when everything is working. The problem is, as we get older, sometimes things don't work like they should. But when it's all working, it works together perfectly. If all were a single member, where would the body be? It wouldn't be a body. As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Now clearly the analogy that Paul is making is that the same thing is true in the church, the body of Christ. In the larger worldwide church, but also in the local church. God has placed each member exactly where he or she should be so that the body will function as it should. Each one is different. Some of us have to be the eyes. Some of us have to be the ears. Some of us have to be the toes, I guess. I don't know. Whatever part. Each member is different, but together we make up a living, working, functioning body. The body of Christ, the church. As you go on, we read up to verse 20 before, but we're going to keep going. In verses 21 to 26, Paul makes it very clear how critically important every member of the body is. He says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' We need one another." And our body, in our body, you need the different parts of your body. Your hand can't say, "Well, I don't need the eye." Your toe, believe me, your toes can't say, "I don't need the eyes." You never walk around in the dark. Someone said that shin is designed for finding furniture in the dark. Or your little toe. Every part of the body needs every other part of the body to function properly. And that's where, you know, when some part doesn't work, when your eyes don't work and you can't see, it affects other parts. When you can't hear, it affects other parts. We can never claim that we do not need certain members of the body. In fact, Paul goes on to say in verse 22, "On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require." And I guess we could spend a lot of time talking about that and what he means by that. But I think it's fairly clear that what he's saying, that, you know, we protect our bodies, we cover certain parts of our bodies, there's modesty and all of that. And we treat members according to the way they need to be treated. But God has put together the body, this body, as we think about the church. He's put together this fellowship of believers to function as a unit. Each member is dependent on all the other members, as we see as you continue there. God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Paul here transitions from talking about our physical bodies to talking about the church, the body of Christ, and our relationships in the body of Christ. And he's put us together in order to support one another, to be dependent on the other members. We're designed as a body to function together, each member doing his or her part, working together in unity. And of course, when one member suffers, all suffer. You know what that's like physically, in our physical bodies. Something as simple as banging your little toe in the dark hurts everywhere, doesn't it? It brings pain and suffering to the whole body, and that's the way it is in the church. When one is hurting, we cannot say that it does not affect us. Sometimes we lose sight of that. There are members of the larger body of Christ, the church universal, who are suffering terribly. We must never separate ourselves from that. But even more so, in our local body, when somebody's hurting, it affects all of us. So we're all one body. We're composed of many different members. And each member is important and necessary for the proper functioning of the body. But how do we summarize this? How do we apply all of this? Well, as we look at the final verses of this chapter, we see kind of I guess, Paul's summary of it. He says in verse 27 and following, "Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way." And that phrase kind of leads into the next chapter, which we'll get to down the road. But Paul summarizes his case by coming back to the issue of spiritual gifts. You see, God has put the body together with all of the gifts necessary to function as He has designed it. And I know you probably wish that I would go into some detail on these gifts and exactly what all he's saying here. I'm not going to do that to any extent this morning, but he lists here a number of different gifts that God has given the church. But then he reminds us again that we're all different. We're all different. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. I mean, he doesn't say no, but that's the implication. Obviously, we're all different. Do all work miracles? Do all gifts have gifts of healing? And so on. We're all different. Just as the members of a body are not all the same, do not look the same, do not serve the same function, so the members of the body of Christ are not all the same. Just as he said back in verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, if we were all the same, we wouldn't all be necessary. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? And so if everybody was a teacher, where would be the people to do administration, acts of mercy, some of the other things that are talked about as spiritual gifts? And he closes with the challenge to seek out the gifts that are most beneficial, the higher gifts. And we will come back to that in a future message. As we go on in chapter 13 and 14, we have a lot more on spiritual gifts. But I want to wrap up this morning with a point of application by reading a devotional thought that comes from Charles Stanley of In Touch Ministries. We, at home, we every morning after breakfast, we read a little devotional from Charles Stanley. And on Wednesday, this past week, was an interesting one. I was already working on this message, and as we read it, I thought, I think this applies. And so I want to share it with you. It's based on Romans 12, verses 9 to 13, which is part of a larger passage that is also dealing with spiritual gifts. And I want to read those verses. It's quite short. Romans 12, verses 9 to 13. He says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, and especially verse 13, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality." As I say, this is part of a passage where he is dealing with spiritual gifts and serving one another and working together as spiritual gifts. And this is what the devotional said. There's something in human nature that resists having to lean on others for support. We talked about being interdependent, dependent on one another. He goes on, "In fact, since its very beginnings, our country has been known for an independent spirit and self-sufficiency. But what may be considered beneficial in a national culture is not what Christ advocates for His church. Although we are each saved individually, the Lord doesn't intend for us to live as if we're on an island, set apart to ourselves. We are called the body of Christ, and as such, our lives are meant to touch, intersect, and connect with other believers in a local church. The various ways we support one another are summarized in this passage, and they cover a large range of experiences from rejoicing to suffering. No matter where we find ourselves on this spectrum, God calls us to be devoted to one another through service, prayer, and hospitality. Paul also specifies the attitudes we should have as we care for each other: sincere love, unselfishness, honor, diligence, and eagerness. As you can see, the church is a place for participants, not spectators. Yet many Christians today think this kind of involvement in others' lives is too costly. So they come on Sunday, stand to sing, sit to listen, and walk out to get back to their own lives. The term spectator Christian doesn't apply only to those who deliberately avoid going to church. In fact, many churches are filled with observant attendees who sit in the pews each week but never touch a fellow believer's life. What about you? Are you a spectator seeking what you can get, or a participant looking for ways to give to someone else? I thought that fit with the idea of spiritual gifts and the functioning of the body. We are to serve one another. We are brought together to function together as a body. Is our body functioning as it should? And I'm not talking about your physical body. I'm talking about our local church. Are you doing your part to touch others, to contribute to the healthy functioning of the body of Christ here at Clive Christian Fellowship? That's our challenge this morning. Are we functioning as we should as a body of believers? Let's pray. Father, you have shown us in your word how the body is one body, but composed of many members that are all different, but brought together where everyone is necessary to function together, to function as a body. Lord, we pray that you will show us the role that we have, that we might fulfill that role and touch others' lives and work together to bring your truth, the gospel of Christ, to one another and to our community. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.